This is Anna Carmo with UN News. More than 100 wildfires are still raging across Australia, with record-breaking temperatures and drought contributing to the loss of more than 6 million hectares of land that is home to some of the most unique plants and animals in the world. Some estimates suggest that around 500 million animals have burned to death in the state of New South Wales alone. In an interview with UN News, John Scanlon, special envoy for the African Parks non-profit organization and former Secretary General of CITES, the UN-backed Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, said that the increasing threat to biodiversity must be lifted up to the international agenda. The Australian-born environment and conservation expert spoke to Julie Dean from our UN Information Centre in Canberra.
These fires are a tragedy. They're a tragedy for people. People have lost their lives, their property, their livestock. And it's also a tragedy for wildlife. We've seen something like 11 million hectares lost. And I've read figures of around 1 billion animals have been lost through the fires. And that's an estimate. And some of these animals have quite unique habitats. So it's devastating, and I think ministers recently called it an ecological catastrophe, and I think I'd adopt the same terms. Australia is a mega diverse country. It has unique wildlife found nowhere else on the planet other than Australia, and there are a number of species that have been put at great risk through the scale and extent of these fires.
On a personal note, you are from South Australia. And what is your reaction to what has specifically happened on Kangaroo Island in South Australia?
Yeah, I mean, it's personally heartbreaking to see what's happening there in Kangaroo Island. I grew up in Adelaide, as you said. I visited Kangaroo Island as a child with the family. I went on a YMCA camp to Kangaroo Island. When I was in legal practice, I spent a lot of time there. And when I was chief executive of Environment, Heritage and Aboriginal Affairs, obviously the national parks on the island fell under our watch, and it's devastating to see the scale of the loss on Kangaroo Island. Such a beautiful island. I mean, fantastic community, really strong community there, extraordinary wildlife, fantastic landscapes, beautiful produce, and to see the scale of the fires hitting that island and what it's done for people, property, livestock and wildlife is just devastating.
And for the koalas in particular, what do you think is going to happen there? Do you have any idea of what this happens in general when there's a population of animals that have been hit so badly?
Yeah, the interesting thing with koalas is they were introduced to Kangaroo Island really as a safe haven for them, and the population has grown significantly, and it's fantastic. It's a chlamydia-free population of koala. A safe zone for koala, and we hear that they've probably lost half of the population, which is terrible if you think animals dying in the fires and getting injured through the fires and at such scale. And the population's taken a huge hit, not just on Kangaroo Island, but across other parts of Australia. So it's really put the koala in a much more difficult position than it's ever been before. So, yeah, terrible.
And do you think there would be any role for the UN or other multilateral institutions to get involved in helping to rebalance the unique flora and fauna of Australia once the fires are out?
So the United Nations is a large organisation with many different components, as you know. We have some significant meetings coming up this year. There will be the 15th meeting of the Conference of the Parties to the Convention on Biological Diversity in Kunming in China. And at this meeting, countries are looking at what sort of biodiversity framework we should have between 2020 and 2030. So how should we deal with the loss of biodiversity that we're experiencing? What sort of measures should be taken? And certainly climate change is a very big part of that conversation, along with all the other threats to biodiversity. So I think here we have a chance to recalibrate, rethink, recognise that the threats to biodiversity, including those coming from climate change, are severe. And, you know, we have, according to recent UN reports, 1 million species at risk of extinction over coming decades if we don't change course. So certainly that conference gives us an opportunity, both globally and in the context of Australia, to rethink where we are with biodiversity. Are we on the right track? Are we taking the right measures to ensure that we're not losing it? And it'll also be the 26th meeting of the Conference of the Parties to the Climate Convention, and we'll be looking at the Paris Agreement and nationally determined contributions. So there's also an opportunity there to look at what sort of responses are being taken to climate change, not just in mitigation, but also in adaptation and building resilience, which is such a big issue for Australia and other countries as well. How are we going to adapt to changing climate conditions?
And just on that, do you think biodiversity has been at the forefront of the climate change discussion?
No, that's unfortunate. Biodiversity has not been well enough recognised, and the contribution that biodiversity makes in terms of being able to mitigate, adapt and build resilience to climate change, but also the contribution that it makes to people's personal health and well-being, a contribution it makes to development and to generating people's jobs. So we really need to lift biodiversity up the international agenda, and that's certainly what's being attempted this year, not only to protect biodiversity in its own right, but to recognise how inextricably linked it is to our response to climate change and to the way in which we develop and achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals.
And you travel the globe extensively in your role as Special Envoy for African Parks. What's been the reaction to the bushfires from people that you speak with?
Yes, I'm currently based in Switzerland, and I think the scale and the intensity of these fires has really shocked everyone. The scale of the fires, in fact, the area covered by these fires is over 2.5 times the size of Switzerland, the country I'm currently living in. And I am receiving messages from people right across the globe, every continent, expressing concern about the fires, asking me if my family's okay, asking me about what's happening and the response and how Australia is going to deal with it. So there's been an overwhelming response, and not just in terms of expressions of concern and goodwill, but people are giving. They're asking, how can I support Australia? How could I contribute to this effort? Whether it's in relation to the impact on people or property or livestock. But with me, and given my job, I have a lot of people coming to me and saying, how can we help the wildlife recover? How can we help injured animals be treated? So it's been an overwhelming response from everyone that I've interacted with across the globe to this crisis that Australia has been confronting through these bushfires.
And in your role as looking at things globally as you travel, the Australian bushfires are one part of a crisis in a particular country, but there are other crises going on around the world. Do you think, if you've got this global knowledge and experience, that we can meet this challenge?
Well, I'm a bit of a born optimist, so I do believe we can meet our challenges. I think one of the inspiring things, looking at what's going on from a distance, is the way the Australian public has responded, the volunteer support from firefighters through to veterinarians, through to just members of the public who are giving, contributing, supporting, through to the wealthiest Australians. We really are seeing Australia come together to respond to this crisis, and great international support. I do think we can respond. I think it's possibly a bit of a wake-up call that we do have to be better prepared. We do need to look at how we are able to respond to changing climate conditions, how we are able to build, adapt, build resilience within the system. So I do think it's really woken everybody up to say we really need to scale up our effort here. From an economic point of view, in terms of, you know, the impact it has on the economy, from a personal point of view, the impact it has on people's lives, their property, their livelihoods, but also in terms of Australia's unique wildlife and the impact it's having, because the bushfires come on top of a drought, they come on top of loss of habitat through various activities, through invasive species, cats, foxes and other species. So, you know, our wildlife's really taking a hit. And with this bushfire coming on top of everything else, it's really crisis time. And that's why it's good to see this initial allocation of $50 million from the Bushfire Relief Fund being allocated to wildlife, and I hope to see more.